according to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program. Today's December 22nd, 2018. Three more days till Christmas, and to all you Christmas, and to all you people riding in your vehicles at the moment, I want you to crank up the volume, open up your windows, and shout out that you're listening to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program as you're going down the highway, and you know who I'm talking to. Okay. So, Merry Christmas. Three more days till Christmas. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you know I start my day off with a cup of fresh Joe from the CEFCO Hilltop here in Cameron. There it is on the video. You can go there and get your cup of fresh Joe any size you want. Also, I'm always promoting the special that they have about the 20-ounce sodas because they are expensive. Normally, a soda's close to $2 by the time you buy it. Well, CEFCO's got this special. You buy the first one, and the second one is only $1. So that's a pretty good price there. So check them out, the Hilltop CEFCO there in Cameron. Get your smokes, your paper, your sodas, your Tostitos, whatever it takes to get your day going. Tell them you heard it on the radio. Say hi to all the ladies there. Also, we're simulcasting here on KMIL 105.1 FM The Ranch right here and right now. Also at KRXT out of Rockdale at 98.5 FM, where you can listen to their respective websites as they stream live. Now, contact us if you want to be part of the show here. You can give me a call at the studio at 254-697-6633. Or give me an email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com. Now, look, before I forget, because it's 3 days till Christmas, here's a little trivia question. I've got a American Rifleman Coin of Freedom still in the package, and I'm showing it to you here right now. If anybody can call me up right now at 254-697-6633 and tell me what the 12 days of Christmas are, you get this coin. If you sing it to me, I'll leave it in the package. If you don't sing it to me, I can't guarantee the condition it'll be in. But anyway, 697-254-697-6633. Give me a call. 12 days of Christmas. What are they? If you win it, you get this nice little Freedom, American Rifleman Freedom coin. Now, we're also on social media. Go to aaronsgunshop.com. Go to the Facebook page and like us on Facebook. Follow us on Instagram. And by all means, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Tons of great information there on the YouTube channel, okay? So let me give you an idea of what's coming up on the show today. True stories from the American Rifleman's Armed Citizens column. And I'm going to be doing four stories out of that. Then after that, we're going to have our licensed to carry attorney segment. And we're going to be going over red flag laws. And in case you're not familiar with what that means, red flags, you ever heard the term? There's a whole bunch of red flags popping. We should have seen this one coming. Well, they're trying to say if we can see things coming, we should make a law about it to prevent problems in the future. So these are red flag laws. They can be very problematic, and we're going to be talking about that. And I want to thank Zoli for bringing that up. Also, we have the delicious Janae Goodman with Tactical Snacking. And this week, because Christmas is Tuesday, we won't be able to get to it in a proper time. She's going to be talking about leftovers from Christmas. So we'll be doing that this Saturday. At 11 o'clock, unfortunately, Chief Dixon is under the weather at the moment, can't come into the studio or talk over the phone, so we're going to do a re-recording of one of his episodes, but he is the epitome of encyclopedia, the Duke of Decency, and the curator of common sense, and with that, he's going to give us words of wisdom, how to prepare yourself and be safe through the holiday season. I think he did that last week or the week before, and since we're still in that time, it's a great refresher course. Liquor Depot in the Milam Plaza right here in Cameron next to Brookshire Brothers. We're going to be doing another liquor spot, and we're going to be talking about Jägermeister. Everybody looks at that bottle and says, looks good, but just not sure what it's all about. So we're going to talk to you about it then around 11:20, and we'll talk about that. Product Spotlight this week, sponsored by ANC Firearms, is the Remington V3 TAC-13 12-gauge firearm. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a hot one. This one's sexy. This one is cool. This one's awesome. If you read these publications of people saying, well, we don't really know what to do with this type of weapon, well, they're crazy. They're inexperienced. They have no clue. I can tell you exactly what to do with this firearm, and it's incredible what you can do. So we'll be talking about that during the product spotlight. And so much more. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to start off with our true stories of self-defense from the American Rifleman. And we're going to try and learn from others' mistakes or others' good deeds so we can apply it to our own life as well. God forbid if we ever get in a situation like that. So, Luke, take us out, and we'll be back on the other side with true stories.
Well, away up north where the air gets cold, there's a tale about Christmas that you've all been told, and a real famous cat all dressed up in red.
This segment of Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program is being brought to you by Twin Pistol Bail Bonds, LLC. Have you been arrested? Are you in jail and want to get out? Call Twin Pistol Bail Bonds at 254-697-6035. Twin Pistol Bail Bonds accepts credit cards and debit cards. Call-ins are also accepted. Conduct your business privately in the Twin Pistol Bail Bonds offices, which are located directly across from the Milam County Sheriff's Office at 707 West 4th Street in Cameron. You're in jail and you want to get out. Let Twin Pistol Bail Bonds help. Call Twin Pistol Bail Bonds now at 254-697-6035 and ask for Dustin Thomas or Lisa Roden. Twin Pistol Bail Bonds, 254-697-6035. Absolutely. Lots more, everybody. Welcome back to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program. We got three more days till Christmas, and we're now in our true story segment, the Armed Citizen Column from the National Rifle Association American Riflemen. And I got four stories here, and the first one goes as follows. Helen Weathers was walking through a Miami, Florida parking lot when an armed robber surprised her from behind with a 25 automatic. After the criminal led her to a nearby building, she drew a 44 mag revolver from her purse and exchanged shots with him, hitting the robber once in the arm. You know, they always say don't bring a knife to a gunfight. I'll tell you what, don't bring a 25 auto to a 44 magnum gunfight. Surely a 25 can kill you, but it's just funny how it sounds here. The guy takes her behind the building, is gonna rob her blind, and she whips out her 44 and takes a shot. So that's great. Story number two. A pair of armed criminals burst into the Fort Lauderdale, Florida home of Vincent Favuzzo, ordered the occupants to the floor, and shouted threats. Favuzzo, who was changing clothes in an adjoining room at the time, had the chance to grab a shotgun just before the intruder burst through the door. Favuzzo stopped him with a single blast, then killed his partner with another load of shot. I pause because do I really need to say anything? This is perfect. Guy was aware. He had his firearm at the ready. Come on here, Ross. And he did what he had to do, but he took the shot. And I'll tell you what, 99% of the time, a shotgun doesn't miss. So that's a good deal there. Story number three. Just shut that door for me. Engaged by a series of five burglaries in just 2 weeks, Johnny Matthews started sleeping at his New Orleans, Louisiana barbershop. His patience was rewarded when a man broke in, waking him. Retrieving his .22 caliber revolver, Matthews went in to investigate. When the intruder rushed him with a lead pipe, Matthews fired once, hitting the criminal in the chest and killing him. Police called the shooting justifiable homicide. Ross, I got a question for you. Let's get your mic real quick. This individual is getting busted or robbed, and he decides, I'm going to premeditatedly wait at my location in hopes that the burglar comes in, and if he does, I'm going to do whatever is necessary to solve the problem. How is that going to look in a court of law?
I would have kept that part to myself.
That's what I would have done.
But I don't see any problem in waiting for them to come. You're still going to get the presumption here in Texas that if they're breaking into your place, then you're at your business and, at that point, residence.
You're doing late-night paperwork, right?
Yeah. Okay.
All right, story number four. Ernest Baker's Houston gas station had been burglarized 13 times in 10 years, including three break-ins in the past year. So when a friend called to say a burglar was in the station, Baker loaded his shotgun and went to investigate. He ordered the burglar to stay inside the station, but when the criminal tried to get away and pointed a gun, Baker fired, killing him. Well, that's fair enough. A friend calls the owner. He goes in there and says, hey, man, you're breaking into my place. Don't move. The guy decides to move. And he blows them away. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Take what you can out of these stories. Put them to use in your own life. Take the good, get rid of the bad, and hopefully we'll survive it. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I was going to write an opinion piece, but I heard somebody else's opinion, and we're going to listen to him for about 3 minutes. And it's good old John Lennon. So go ahead, Luke, play it.
This is Christmas. I
sometimes you just need more. But what do you do when that yard equipment needs more or just isn't working like it used to? The answer is Cameron's Old Engine, formerly Cameron Seed Company. For friendly service and quality work, stop it at 408 West Mac. They provide all your outdoor power equipment needs. Check out their selection of Echo, Snapper, and Zero Turn Big Dog Motors. Power through the summer with Cameron's Old Engine. Call 254-697-3452 or stop in at 408 West Mac.
For sales, service, maintenance, and supplies for motorcycles, ATV, Ford Trackers, and more, stop by Two Wheel Customs, located on Highway 53 in Zopchickville. Open Tuesday through Saturday, Two Wheel Customs offers the best in repairs and maintenance on any make, model, or size of motorcycle. If you're looking to buy or sell your unit, David Trojan and his crew can take all the hassle of paperwork and displaying your motorcycle. If you're looking to buy, Two Wheel Customs always has vehicles on display for purchase. In addition, you can find a store full of variant apparel, everything from boots to helmets, along with a great inventory of accessories for your motorcycle. Give Two Wheel Customs a call at area code 254-760-2250. That's 254-760-2250. Two Wheel Customs on Highway 53 in Zopchickville.
Next time you need heating and air conditioning or even duct cleaning, call Climate Control Air Conditioning and Heating in Rockdale. Routine maintenance, repairs, installation, or duct cleaning. Get the pros at Climate Control Air Conditioning and Heating. 512-446-4020. Stop by 1244 US 79 in Rockdale. They can service all brands of residential and commercial HVAC systems and are available 24 hours a day, including weekends and holidays. For the best, call Climate Control in Rockdale. 512-446-4020.
That's True Hatch Tech, a friend with a helping hand. When you want to ensure the good things in life, trust Germania.
Is your insurance company taking too big a bite out of your apple? When you're shopping for property insurance, think about coverage, service, and price. Make sure you're getting the most for your money. When you compare apples to apples, you'll see that Germania Insurance delivers outstanding value. Competitive rates, flexible payment options, and discounts. Plus, Germania offers 24/7 customer claim service. Trusted by Texans since 1896. Don't give up service or sacrifice coverage. Compare apples to apples. Then choose the outstanding value offered by Germania Insurance.
So when you want to insure the good things in life, trust Germania.
Call 697-4683 for Sharon Ruback, representative of Ruback Insurance and Germania Farm Mutual Companies.
Capolito Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron prides themselves on service, resourcefulness, knowledge of the law, and attention to detail. So if you or a loved one has been injured by someone else's negligence, they can help. Call 888-637-6347 for help today from Capolito Dodd Krebs Law Firm. Capolito Dodd Krebs Law Firm will work as hard for your family as you do. Call 800-460-0606 for Capolito Dodd Krebs.
Welcome back, everybody. Just a little bit. Welcome to Aaron's High Cab Adventure Radio Program. Listen, earlier in the show, I said if you can tell me what the 12 Days of Christmas are, give us a call here at 254-697-6633. You get to win this American Rifleman Freedom Coin. Okay, it's still in the package. If you sing it, I don't know, we'll just applaud you, but you get this Freedom Coin. It's pretty cool. So give us a call, 254-697-6633. And I want to also say thank you to all our sponsors, Two Wheel Customs, Twin Pistol Bail Bonds, EBCO, Comfort AC and Heating, Cameron Small Engine, Liquor Depot, ANC Firearms, Capolito Dodd Krebs Law Firm, which brings us to you, Ross. How's it going, buddy? How you doing today?
How you doing? Ho, ho, ho.
You can't say that no more.
Oh, that's
discriminatory towards women, so you got to say he.
Yeah, we're about to get the calls now.
I had talked to you this week about something that Zoli, our legal alien, Zoltan Varga, one of my instructors, he had sent to me an article concerning red flag laws. And I looked at it and I said, this is pretty interesting. So hopefully Zoe will be able to give us a call in a little bit too. But I sent it to you and we're talking about it. And you say there's it's kind of new here, so it's difficult to actually come up with an analysis. Why don't you tell us what you got?
Yeah. So there's a couple of states that have, not just a couple, it's a handful, that's got these red flag laws. And so there's not a defined, or one that I saw, you know, offhand this week, about defining exactly what is the red flag, but it's assumed that we're talking about red flags should have popped up on this person as far as their possession and use and control of firearms.
Well, one example that when we were talking about it, I read about the shooting here in Texas, the school, they already had information a year prior, so that should have been a red flag. And so now what they're trying to do is utilize that term as a preemptive strike, right?
Yes, and so this would think would be one of the red flag laws. I don't think it's the red flag laws, because the one we're going to talk about does not prevent you from actually purchasing a firearm, except for one bill that's being proposed, which I was going to ask you about. But as far as what we're talking about is the extreme risk protection orders. Okay, and so those, as far as what's been in place per state, it's all kind of new, and so you guys can go check it out. It's House Bill number 131 and Senate Bill 157 that's up on the menu for 2019 at the Texas Legislature. And the extreme risk protection orders are going to essentially be what is already in place, I feel like, for some things, and which is why I don't agree with. So I was going to come in here, actually, and I kind of thought, when I first read over it and I first got the summary, I thought, well, this is a good thing. They're trying to compromise. And then I slowly started thinking about all the times that I've already had to go to court with my own experiences, and how many times people have lied in these detailed allegations. And then I started thinking about all the cases that we've had problem-wise, you know, on appeal, that have lost, and with evidence questions coming into play and it being very suspect, or very little evidence to support, right, the issuance, the court's approval of one of these protection orders in other contexts, like just family violence, which we already have an emergency protection order. Okay, we've talked about how many times we talk about the family law. You're going to get a protection order, restraining order, right, in a family law case for family violence.
Can I ask a question for my personal clarification?
Right.
When you say an emergency order, is that because they may not be guilty, or they may be guilty, but because of what it's pertaining to, I can't take the chance, we've got to do an emergency order on it. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay.
That's exactly what that is. So let's say you have a couple and they get into a fight, the police show up, and arrest one of the spouses because one of them's in a fight, and there's evidence to believe that one of them's got, you know, probable cause to believe that, based on evidence there on the scene, that one of them is guilty of family violence. So one of them's going to get arrested. They're going to take one downtown, and as soon as that happens, the police are going to go and fill out an application for an emergency protective order. Okay, and they're going to submit that to the JP judge. JP judge is going to sign that almost certainly.
Obviously, yeah.
Right? I mean, I don't get mad. Sometimes these things are baseless and the case ends nice. He doesn't even end up getting charged, but there's still an emergency protective order in place.
I get that.
If I'm a JP, I'm not going to sign that.
That's right.
You can't
take the chance.
Because then what if they go back to the house and kill the girl, right, or guy?
It can look bad from the outside. Right. The guy's innocent. How can they do that? But then you got to think of the other position. Here, the judge is saying, getting information from honored people with a badge who are supposed to be, you know,
right? That's exactly right. You hit the nail on the head. Like, if you're a JP judge, I'm not saying that they don't ever, you know, turn it down, but it's just not, the system's not set up to be an impartial system, in my opinion, when that's concerning. And honestly, I don't blame anybody.
They need
for those
due
things
diligence, though, to make sure if it is true or not, or if it isn't true, make sure that the order's taken off.
And the police officer, if he doesn't fill out the application, everybody's going to go, why didn't you do something?
Yeah, exactly.
Right? You know, you arrested him for family violence, but you didn't go ahead and fill out the application? And sometimes they don't. Sometimes it's kind of a dumb scenario, and it doesn't look like anything's going to happen. So sometimes, every once in a while, they don't do the application. But so you have that. That's already in place. And those automatically restrict your right to use handguns. So really, every order that I've seen has that in there.
Mm-hmm.
right? And we're always fighting to get it lifted. If it's a person that's got a bunch of weapons at the house, we're always fighting to get those lifted because they're always just in there. Those are something that is going to be automatically. And again, I don't blame anybody. It's kind of like, well, if the person's, you believe that the person is guilty of, right, this family violence and they're dangerous, obviously then you don't want this person to have a firearm, especially right now in an intense situation between, right, somebody that they're passionate about.
I can understand the intense situation, but if it's anything outside that intense situation, there needs to be a procedure.
It's really not, except, you know, trying to hire somebody and attack the order. Okay, and so then you've already got the mental health, right, system procedure, a whole two in two different code sets. You've got procedures for dealing with the mentally ill, and you have procedures for a temporary ex parte order, and that means, right, outside the presence of the other side, right, one on one with the judge. And that's what I was trying to say in the family law context. I'm not attacking anybody specific. I'm just saying that there is an opportunity for manipulation of the system, because you can have one lawyer go to the judge one on one and talk to the judge one on one without another side getting to tell their side of the story. You can get an emergency protective order issued without a hearing, right, and without anybody else on the other side to give that side of the story. Now, they're only temporary. Okay, but
how long is temporary?
But we know from studies that development of a bias is a lot of times based on the first opinion that they were given.
Yeah.
And so a lot of times it does, and I'm not attacking police here, but there's been several studies that a lot of times police, it's not good to get favorable evidence to the end of an investigation, because by the time they may get evidence, they would have already formed their opinion. Okay, and so it makes sense that, you know, and it's the old trial advocacy rule. As a trial lawyer, that one of the two main rules is primacy and recency. Right? First and last. What somebody hears at the first of a conversation and last of a conversation, yep, are the parts that they remember. The inside, you know, meat is always forgotten because people's attention span.
That's so, the main rule of advertising, man. The last thing in your head needs to be my product.
Primacy and recency. Yeah. Okay, and so they're going to remember the first thing they heard and the last thing they heard. Okay, and so if you get that first bite at the apple, so to speak, at the judge one-on-one without the other side there, the judge is already getting this story, and if you follow up with the hearing soon enough where the judge can remember the story that you told, a lot of times there's a chance for manipulation of the process to get the judge already swayed one way. And so, I mean, these things happen, and I'm not attacking anybody specific or lawyers specific or judges specific. I'm just saying there's these possibilities, and they do happen. And you got to think about another thing. A lot of times it irks me, right, when the state can't prove a criminal case. They don't have enough to prove a criminal case. So what they'll do is they'll bring one of these for a protective order and try to get enough evidence with a protective order and then try to use that, okay, to strengthen a criminal investigation.
So are we swaying from or diverting from a red flag law, or are you just...
No, this is because these go into the protective order, and part of what, okay, the allegations of an ERPO, an ERPO, right, what that would be, an extreme risk protective order, part of that's going to be the allegations, have they done anything to justify issuance of a protective order, period. That doesn't mean under this section alone that they're proposing.
And what did you say they were proposing? What were the bills?
So it's a Senate Bill 157 and House Bill 131, and it's an extreme risk protection order. So is somebody at risk, okay, in immediate and present danger, right, to themselves or others, okay, to a person, bodily injury to a person, okay, including the person that they're going at, whose guns are going after, right? Does that person pose an immediate and present threat, okay, to somebody by reason of mental illness and firearms? And it says that in one place, but when you look at how the order can be granted, right, it doesn't say that that's the only reason. Okay, it says any other reason to justify issuance of a protective order. So there's got to be these findings, but
let me get this straight, just so I'm straight. You're saying some of this is good, however, because the other parts that aren't bad make
it's overbroad. I feel like it's overbroad, and it doesn't go to the heart of the issue. I think what we need to focus on more is there a mental illness? Because there's no reason to try to include the family violence
but
stuff
what,
in here.
What do you think would be fair to utilize as saying somebody's mentally ill? Where would you go to get that information to say, I've got facts or I've got documentation to prove this, as compared to just saying an emergency protective order because we think it?
I think there needs to be like a clear and convincing standard. I think...
So there is not one?
No, not on all this stuff. Okay? And so... It doesn't go to the heart either. It basically leaves the applications to bring in any allegation whatsoever, anything relevant at all. Anything at all relevant, right, to posing a threat. And I get that. I understand, but you got to realize, and somebody said, well, what's wrong with that? I think that that's good. Well, we already have procedures in place. If somebody is violent in a domestic household setting, there's already the emergency protective order procedures in place for that.
So are these red flags being proposed out of emotional fear, or is there, in your opinion, any type of...
That's why I said I'm not going to attack it on that. I don't know what their intent was. I didn't go back. And like I said, they haven't been on the books long enough for them to give a house analysis. Mm. So they're gonna do some research. And after they do some research, take some polls, talk about it, argue back and forth, they're gonna put up on the legislature, it takes the legislature online, you can go look at it. It's free, it doesn't cost anything. They're gonna do an analysis, a bill analysis. Okay, and they'll summarize it too, and they'll tell you, right, the pros and cons of it, and the naysayers, and the ones that are pushing for it, and then they'll tell you about the ones in the middle, and they'll tell you about what the general consensus was among the people in the polls that they did. And I'm not saying those are ever skewed. That obviously, right, you have politics involved, so and maybe you have one party that has more researchers in this area than another party, so maybe it gets skewed. But generally speaking, they try to do a pretty good job about summarizing this stuff for everybody. And so we can go on there and we can see then what the intent was. My point is that I think right now it's too broad. So my point in all that is I don't want to attack anybody for having a malicious intent with doing this or out of fear or some kind of wrong politics. I just think that it needs to be narrowed down if this is what they want to do.
I think if it's not, it ends up being a slippery slope. Because
Exactly. That's the problem with these.
That's why people in the gun world are so adamant about not giving up any rights. Because although it may sound like common sense, you apply that little bit of leeway and then people want to go and continue it on, and it chips away at your Second Amendment one piece after the other. A perfect example would be, and I'll talk about this later, is the ban on bump stocks. Okay? Bump stocks, piece of plastic out there, a law-abiding citizen isn't going to do anything crazy with it. Yet, because of a couple or a few, it's now a banned item. Okay, so what's next? See where it goes? Although, I personally, big deal, I could care less about a bump stock. It's no big thing to me. But it doesn't matter. There's other people who it is a big thing to, and it's a right. And is it being chipped away on that banana peel like these red flag laws are going to start doing?
That's what I say. So government is a huge machine, and it works slow, but it's constant.
It grinds.
It's a grinder. Yeah. It just constantly takes a little bit by little bit by little bit by little bit, and we don't see it coming all at one time.
What baffles me when you say that is you get this impression that government is a machine, a physical machine, the way you make it sound, but it's us, it's people who get elected there. What is their mental thought process to get us in this position where it turns government into a grinder? I don't get it, man. Don't people see that when they're in office, it's going to come back on them too?
But you got to remember, some of these things don't show themselves for 50 to 100 years. I mean, we talked about the government being the necessary evil, okay, because its job is to restrict, right, society. That's its job, is to govern. When you're governing, you're limiting and you're restricting, but...
Actually, in this country, it should be to protect our liberties to be free. That's how limited this government should be to us.
A lot of times, though, protection, like we said, comes at the price of liberty, okay? So... We have to give up liberty in order to be protected and give security.
Not this
deal. I understand. So that's my point. Yeah. Is that's where the trade off is sometimes, and that's why as Americans we don't like to make that.
Ladies and gentlemen, you got that scale for attorneys, the legal scale.
Okay, right.
I use that scale in my head all the time when it comes up to a situation where it may sound like a good idea to do something. I put it on the scale and I say, does it chip away at the pillars of our Constitution and Bill of Rights? And if it does, I don't care. Even if it does jeopardize me, too, on the street with risk, you know what I do? I do what it takes to be more prepared and secure instead of crying, whining, sitting under pillows waiting for a 911 call to come and help me. Okay? Take charge of your life. Stop chipping away the thing that gives you the ability to have your freedoms here. Okay, I'm done.
And, I mean, that's the problem. I think right now this is really broad. And there's already things in place that can, in place to protect some of the things that they're trying to include in this. And so when you include them in this one too, it just, it makes it ambiguous in my opinion, because it makes it seem like you can include whatever kind of conduct at all, whatever you want to. And if it's in here as something that is a valid allegation, the judge is going to feel like, oh, that has weight. That has weight to it. And so when you're reading some of those articles, I think some of the articles you may read about this in Texas, even the Texas articles, I think they go a little, I think they're a little strongly worded. You know, I'm not saying that they exaggerate, but they're putting on and making this probably look really bad. And that's because they're seeing what could happen in some of these instances, right? There could be very little proof. And so there's going to be some probably talk about, why are you considering my purchase of recent purchase of firearms as evidence of why this is? So I guess I should hit upon this point. One of the allegations that is actually in here specified for the judge to consider is the recent acquisition or purchase, right, of firearms. And you're thinking, so I go and buy a weapon and you're going to consider that against me? Mm-hmm. That's something for you to consider to go against me on this just because I purchased a firearm? And I get it. Like, what if somebody's planning an attack? Okay, yes, the recent acquisition of a large amount of weapons, right, and or explosives, right, would be evidence that they're gonna, you know, they're planning that attack.
I know, but the way it should be is, okay, if you got resources that can tell you that somebody's buying a whole bunch of guns at one time and it raises a flag, okay, do your homework and check on it, but do not do anything to chip away. It's like you just got to wait till it happens. That's what I'm saying. You cannot protect yourself from every problem. So you just got to live. And what did Benjamin Franklin say? He goes, if you want liberty at the cost of security, you're going to have neither.
Right,
so,
exactly.
So screw the security. I'll do it myself, okay?
Yeah.
You people chipping away at it, it's not good. Now I got a question for you. I want an opinion. I see this a lot. I know a bunch of people who are very educated, okay? And I said that way on purpose. Very educated. High levels of education. And they seem to live in a bubble, a world that is non-reality, because they are just successful in what they do. They're able to get the top things in life, the whole works. They don't have to associate with the trials and tribulations of life. And I get this impression they have a skewed view of how it really is. And so they want to apply their bubble reality to the real reality. And that, when you're saying a couple things, how a judge makes a decision, do you feel that may be the case sometimes? The judge is in a bubble of higher excellence and socioeconomical status.
Well, that's why we have elections, right? And so in theory, right, we're supposed to vote for a judge who can be fair and who we think is going to be the best impartial representative for our populace, right? And so we should take that in consideration in an election. And so if we don't elect the right person, that's nobody's fault but our own. Okay, but from a standpoint, yes, there's been a lot of studies done to show you're telling us that somebody who's in, you know, the upper middle bracket to the upper bracket of income, and who's probably had a family that's been in that bracket, and is probably not the only person to ever go to college in their family. Mm-hmm. In other words, you're taking part of the upper echelon of society, right, to judge the lower, you know, peasantry, right, portions of society. Yes, there's been a lot of commentators on that point from the beginning of this country, right? How can a judge be able to understand a circumstance that they've never had to face? But honestly, a lot of judges come from all backgrounds, and it goes back to who we elect. And you can't look at it that way, because there's no better way to do it. In a government that's one such as this, we're going to just have to take some sacrifices.
You ever see that movie, The Blind Side?
Yes.
That's a perfect illustration right there. You got Michael Orr and the Orr family, the higher status family, doing their own thing. And Michael Orr hears great football player, but he's barely making it here. And they think their world's pretty, and they all of a sudden there's a connection between the family and Michael Orr, and they realize, oh my gosh, I there's another side of the world out there. So if you can get a blend of everything, I think
there's definitely an underground culture that I didn't even know existed till I became an attorney.
Specify.
Oh, there's just all kinds of things that we don't know that goes on. It just, if you're not involved in the legal community, I mean, I go back to when Rick Dodd was in here when we spoke about, you know, in his early days and doing CPS court. And as I said, anybody who's never been to a CPS court, you need to just go. You need to go one time. And like I say, I think they used to do them on Fridays every Friday and Tuesday, Monday or Tuesday. Now I don't know the schedule.
CPS, Child Protective Services.
But you can always, yeah, Child Protective Services. You need to go to court and just see the stories that come before, and here in Milan County, Judge Youngblood. And there's just sometimes I'm like, man, I don't want his job.
How do people get to those positions, right?
Because sometimes
I'm not talking about the judge. I'm talking about the families coming to the court, how things can get so screwed up, right?
Right, but that's what I'm saying. You got moms drugged out. Dad's nowhere to be found or in jail somewhere a long distance away. There's really nobody that's better off from a grandparent, a great-grandparent standpoint, and there's really just nowhere to put the kids at. But at the same time, maybe there's siblings and the foster parents that you got them with, they already got too many kids, so they can't take all the kids, and we got to separate the siblings. And before you know it, you got three kids in three different counties.
And we're talking about all these different laws and stuff, and you just give it this illustration. And people, I'm saying to myself, if you, the public out there, had the ability to go to somebody and say, that was wrong what you just did, young man, and scold them without fear of getting in trouble and arrested, we might have some better people out there. But you got all these laws and protections and securities and safeties now that everybody's scared to do anything. So you're exemplifying, is that the right word? You're magnifying the problem that exists already when hopefully we could have corrected it or subdued it by actually interacting with it at the moment.
And I think some of the people that in the anti-red flag camp, right, are pushing, they're saying that, hey, another thing is, this person had been charged with a crime. This person is not have been found by any specialist board to be have a mental defect, right? And all you're going on is a sworn affidavit of some family member who may be in the midst of a family law case trying to take advantage. And so all of a sudden the police show up at their house and the police are going to have their guns drawn.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you say, no, we're not. Some police say, no, that's not how we would approach. I'm telling you that if there's an extreme risk protection order granted
I don't blame the cop. I don't blame him at all.
The cops are going to go thinking there's going to be a problem, and then the guy's going to be, you know, upset.
Mm-hmm. I think we got, is that Zoe? We got a call on the line. Is that for me, Luke? Okay.
But the person's going to be upset, right? Because they don't have any notice that this is coming. Right? They don't have any notice.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And the police are showing up. Give us your guns. Give us your property.
Okay, we got a call on the line. Put them on and let's see who we got. All right, everybody. If you want to call in as well, the number's 254-697-6633. You're on the air. Who we got? Hello.
Howdy.
Hey, Zoli, is that you?
Yep.
All right, buddy. What you got, man? Thanks for the topic. It's going pretty good. What's your insight on it?
Yeah, I'm listening. I just want to tell my side of the argument. Like the article I sent you before,
yes,
about the red flag law and how was it carried out, what ended up with the guy's death, police technically gunned him down, is there wasn't any hearing, wasn't any history of mental illness or violence or anything. It was an argument between neighbors. And the neighbor filed out this concern that this guy is possibly dangerous and please get their guns. And many, I think that this was the second case when technically a law-abiding citizen, because after the shooting, the police, as the family and the sister said, is like, never did anything wrong. He's not violent.
What's up with that? I want to make clear that that story was not from a law here in Texas, but it was illustrating exactly the point I was just making. You've got this person has never been found to have a mental defect or problem that was a threat to anybody. This person has not been convicted of crime. This person has not been charged right, for any kind of assault or incident that would have happened recently, right? And all of a sudden the police show up, right, trying to execute on this order and say, give us your guns. Well, this person's, it automatically escalates, yeah, right, tensions, and they don't understand, and you're having the cops already drawn. Dude, why you got a gun drawn? What is your problem? And then that escalates, and
all of a sudden you, the cops, right, mental thought process.
Right, and so you have this situation where the cops think, oh, this person is really a threat, right? And so I need to protect myself. Okay, and that's why the guy got gunned down, and that scenario is part of it. And I think they're trying in Texas, they're trying to make it look like they put a restriction, because it would appear as though the only people who could apply for an order would be a family member that's in your household, okay, a family member or somebody in your household, okay, or a prosecuting attorney. But then it says the prosecuting attorney can bring it, right, if it was made at the request of a peace officer. Well, again, we go back to, all it takes is for the neighbor to make an allegation to the peace officer that the person is crazy, and the police officer go to the district attorney and say, hey, this person's crazy, we need to go get their gun. Okay, and so a lot of it, I think, is going to depend on, right, the political stance of the different prosecutors across the counties, right, how this will be enforced. If you've got a very conservative, right, probably long-standing district attorney in a county, they're probably not as much, right, a risk as, say, a really, you know, liberal DA in a liberal county that, right, is against an anti-gun camp, that is going to be trying to enforce this law just from that ideology, not because there was really a threat.
Hey, Zoli, cover your mic. The wind's hitting it. Okay. Any other comment on it, Zoli? Because I got about 2 minutes here before I got to cut it out.
No, not.
Okay.
I don't have anything to help.
All right. Well, I appreciate you sending us the topic, and it's going pretty good here. So I'm going to let you go, and we'll finish up. Ross, let's just start wrapping it up here with any other thoughts that you may have on it.
No, I think we need to revisit this in a few months after there's been time to really debate this thing. And I don't see this passing right now, but who knows? You know, I mean, everything's scary when you're talking about a bill being launched into the Democratic Republican process, because, you know, you give and take. It's a quid pro quo. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, like, okay, if you want mine to pass, you got to vote for mine. And so it's always a scary thought. I don't think it's going to pass now, but I'd like to see some of the limitations that are put on this in this process as we go along. All right. Other than that, Merry Christmas.
Well, thank you, Ross. I hope you have a Merry Christmas, too, and yeah, a Happy New Year, but I'll be seeing you before the New Year's. Why don't you tell everybody how they can get a hold of you?
105 East Main Street here in Cameron. That's the primary office location. If you want to schedule an appointment, you can give us a call at 254-605-4140. That's 254-605-4140. If you got questions about the show, man, Eva, we love talking about things and new topics. People give us new topics for the show all the time. Email me at benton@watson.legal. That's benton@watson.legal. Just make sure you leave your phone number. I mean, and Rick Dodd, thank you for, you know, sponsoring the show, having me on when you can't be here during the holidays.
Right. And this segment is not possible. This segment, as any other segment, is not possible without our sponsors, Rick Dodd, Coppolino Dodd, Kreb Law Firm, for this one. We thank them and all the other sponsors as well, too. So be sure, if you got some challenges, to either call Rick or Ross here. They can square you away. Ross, man, I got so many topics that hit me, and I always forget to call you or text you what they are, and they could expand upon so many different things. I got to just start writing this stuff down. I see something in the news, and I ask a question. I read something in the paper, I ask a question. Somebody makes a comment, or Zoli sends some information. I got questions. There's so many questions. And sooner or later, it rolls down to guns. And that's what this segment's all about. It's about laws, guns, the whole works. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break. When we come back on the other side, we'll have the delicious Janae Goodman talking about Christmas leftovers. See you in a little bit.
Coppolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron focuses on cases involving personal injury litigation, including asbestos exposure and mesothelioma. At Coppolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm, you are never treated like a number. Cases are accepted on a contingency basis, so clients do not have to pay out of their pocket. Contact Coppolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron today. Call 888-MESO-FIRM.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures.
If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who's been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunshop.com.
For sales, service, maintenance, and supplies for our motorcycles, ATV, Ford Trackers, and more, stop by Two Wheel Customs, located on Highway 53 in Zopchickville.
Open Tuesday through Saturday.
Two Wheel Customs offers the best in repairs and maintenance on any make, model, or size of motorcycle. If you're looking to buy or sell your unit, David Trojan and his crew can take all the hassle of paperwork and displaying your motorcycle. If you're looking to buy, Two Wheel Customs always has vehicles on display for purchase. In addition, you can find a store full of varying apparel, everything from boots to helmets, along with a great inventory of accessories for your motorcycle. Give Two Wheel Customs a call at area code 254-760-2250. That's 254-760-2250. Two Wheel Customs on Highway 53 in Zopchickville.
Next time you need heating and air conditioning or even duct cleaning, call Climate Control Air Conditioning and Heating in Rockdale. Routine maintenance, repairs, installation, or duct cleaning. Get the pros at Climate Control Air Conditioning and Heating. 512-446-4020. Stop by 1244 U.S. 79 in Rockdale. They can service all brands of residential and commercial HVAC systems and are available 24 hours a day, including weekends and holidays. For the best, call Climate Control in Rockdale. 512-446-4020.
Hi, everyone. Matt, your host from Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program here, and I'm very excited to tell you about our new sponsor, Liquor Depot, located in the Milam Plaza right next to Brookshire Brothers. As you know, I'm a bartender, and when I walk into Liquor Depot, I get excited looking at all the variations of wine, beer, and spirits. So if you're going to have a party, wedding, or business event, and you want to serve alcohol, Liquor Depot is the place to come to stock your bar and your icebox. Great prices, excellent selection, and lots of friendly help to get you what you need. There are lots of great enhanced gift ideas, too, for any occasion. Liquor Depot is open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. and is located at 1604 West 4th. So stop in today and stock up or call Liquor Depot at 254-605-605. 0766.
Hi, I'm Jason Dornalek from EBCO Development. What happens when that bargain roofing job fails? Your roof leaks and your ceiling is damaged. You pay for it. That's what. Especially when your bargain roofer is uninsured. Good idea? No. So why take chances? EBCO Development has been there for you since 1984. New construction, roofing, remodeling, siding, and more. Call us first. 254-697-2186. 697-2186.
Greetings, my lovelies. Welcome to Golden Flu Season. Regardless of if you're getting over a cold or just didn't want one in the first place, I suggest these tips in order to keep you in tip-top shape. I'm Janae Goodman, and this is Tactical Snacking. Be cold and flu-free with vitamin C. Our bodies don't do a terribly great job of absorbing vitamin C, so it's important to note that it should be replenished every day. A daily dose of 75 to 90 milligrams is the recommended minimum, and your daily intake should not exceed past 2,000 milligrams. Like all vitamins and minerals, vitamin C is most efficient when it comes directly from a food source. This is opposed to a dietary supplement or a pill. Luckily for us, there's plenty of choices available for snacking. You can reach for a common cold choice, a fresh orange, or go for an extra serving of berries, broccoli, sweet potatoes, Brussels sprouts, or pineapple. all of which have a higher antioxidant count than a mere orange. If you do decide to indulge in an orange, steer clear of any processed juices. The amount of sugar added counteracts with the benefits of a citrus fruit. I'm not saying sugar is harmful when fighting a cold, but it definitely won't aid you in a quick recovery. Instead, reach for a hot toddy. This classic cocktail was recently found to be more than just an old wives' tale when it comes to getting you back on track. And coincidentally, yesterday was Hot Toddy Day. The combination of hot tea, lemon juice, honey, and bourbon has helped get me through what could have been a really rough night. The hot tea and honey help reduce any inflammation or swelling and soothe the throat, while the bourbon and lemon juice act as decongestants. If you're not an alcohol drinker, you can replace the bourbon with a dose of cough syrup. A hot toddy will potentially put you to sleep, so it's best to drink this right before bed. If you still need to make it through the day, just drink green tea with honey and lemon juice instead. Milk and dairy products are not harmful while fighting a cold. In fact, the cool temperature of some dairy items such as yogurt or popsicles are great for soothing a sore throat. Just keep in mind that most dairy products will temporarily thicken phlegm, but it will not encourage your body to make more of it. That means you can chug a glass of milk right after a spicy meal and be A-okay. Spicy foods encourage nasal drainage, which means you get to breathe a little easier. Go ahead, dab a little extra chili sauce or have a bowl of spicy curry. Don't forget to add in plenty of garlic, bell pepper, ginger, and turmeric, which are all high in antioxidants. Serve your curry creation up with a side of dark leafy greens for an extra boost. You may be surprised to know there's actually a good reason you're encouraged to eat chicken noodle soup when dealing with a cold. Not only does a warm liquid from the broth help reduce inflammation or swelling of the throat, but it also helps relieve congestion. The chicken contains vitamin B6, zinc, and iron, all of which help with body function. The vegetables in your soup provide you with much-needed nutrients, and the noodles are great for carb intake to increase your energy. You can also indulge in other lean meats or fish to increase your vitality, so feel free to jump into the broth by adding some. If you happen to have any eucalyptus or peppermint growing in your garden this year, put it to good use. Peppermint is a perfect decongestant, and it has an added benefit of reducing a fever. Muddle your mint into water along with a squeeze of lemon for a refreshing boost. You can use eucalyptus and peppermint oils in a diffuser or crush them up with Epsom salt and baking soda for a therapeutic bath. So what's the takeaway here? If you want to prevent a cold or flu, stay healthy. That means to do your best to reduce stress, eat a plentiful diet, and wash your hands with warm soapy water for at least 20 seconds to decrease your chance of being a victim of a harmful virus. If you're already feeling that itch on the back of your throat, it's not too late to guard up. Remember to drink plenty of fluids and get lots of rest. If you have any questions or need a recap on this information, feel free to shoot me an email at tacticalsnacking@yahoo.com. And until next time, stay hungry, my friends.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who's been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Petros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunshop.com. Now time for the master of manners, the communicator of common sense, and the epitome of encyclopedia, Officer Randy Dixon, the voice of law enforcement. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I have to the left of me here once again, retired police chief Randy Dixon. Chief, hello again.
Hello.
I wanted to get you on specifically for this because I know you've got a lifelong, what, about 45 plus years experience as law enforcement.
45.
And I wanted to talk about situations on
911 call or whatever. I had somebody talking to me about a situation that happened to them. They were at their home and they felt extremely threatened. Whether it was verbal or with a weapon, it doesn't matter. They felt it was necessary to acquire their handgun, hold their ground on their property, call 911, and law enforcement comes on the scene and it ends up seeming to him, he felt very aggressed upon by law enforcement, and then this person who the law enforcement knows has a record and is a hassle seems to not have any type of trouble with the law whatsoever. And I was wondering if we could talk about scenarios like that. What's going on? Why does that happen? What can we do to fix it?
Yeah, basically, from that scenario there, what it sounds like to me that and I don't know who the officer was, didn't care who the officer was, but it sounds like to me that his training did not leave him with enough information that he knew how to approach a situation like that. You know, it's like we have to look at it just like a game warden would look at it. Everybody a game warden deals with almost invariably is going to have a weapon. When you're trying to protect your own property, you know, the Constitution allows you to have a gun at your house, allows you to have protection. So an officer to go and to hassle somebody because they had a weapon to protect themselves, to me that's a lack of training on that officer's part. Now, not knowing the totality of all the circumstances and not wanting to be an armchair quarterback, one of the things I will tell you is this. You know, when an officer goes out to a house and he tries to determine what's happened, a lot of times that officer is going in blind. Most times he's going in blind. So he's got to get the sides of the story. Now, with that scenario that you just gave, the other gentleman had a record, especially if it's a record dealing with what they're there for, then the officer should kind of, you know, he needs to hear both sides of the story. But before he hears both sides of the story, he needs to check himself at the door to make sure that he doesn't sound accusatory toward one person or another person. You know, an officer who goes on a 911 call such as that and he walks up and the guy's got on his property and he's got a weapon to protect himself, the officer has no right, in my mind, to say anything about the guy with the weapon. That's his property. That's his defense mechanism.
Would there be one instance of hesitation because when they come up to the scene, they may not know that that person with the gun is the true owner of the property?
Absolutely. And that is another thing. And I was going to allude to that. You know, when an officer gets there, he doesn't know 99% of what went on. He gets basically the location, the name of the call, what type of call it is, and then he's going in not knowing anything else. It's his job to determine exactly what's going on. Now, what I would have done, and most officers would have done, I think, was number one, we would have secured that weapon if we could. Either tell him to put it away or let me hold it till we figure out what's going on, then give it back to the person or tell him that, you know, he had a right to have that weapon. But when he sees an officer coming up, an officer is not going to know who the bad guy, who the good guy is many times. So to put that gun away or holster it when the officer gets there.
Yeah, that was a comment made by this individual in the story that he was concerned for his life as law enforcement was there, and it seemed that they were more impressed or occupied with him, and he was getting confused because why are you focused on me when that's the bad person? And they were concerned with securing the firearm.
Right.
So I can understand that position clearly.
But, you know, and one of the things that I have to, and I will repeat this over and over again, many times it's a lack of training on the police officer's part. You know, and I'm not saying that this officer didn't have training. It may be his training was not specifically for that one area. But the number one thing is you got to protect yourself as an officer. That's true. But you also need to have all the details going in. You know, ask them to identify who the bad guy is, who the good guy is. And that goes back to also training the citizens to give enough information when they call in 911.
It seems to me that there can be a lot of room for error. But in the scenarios that we keep coming up with, when it involves law enforcement, criminal, something, it's just no way and how can you do it there on the spot. I get this impression, no matter what, unless it's literally life or death or some type of severe thing that can happen to you or family or property, that you just submit whether it's right or wrong and figure it out later.
That's exactly what you have to do. I mean, the old saying is, you know, we don't hold court on the side of the road. Well, the same is true for a homeowner. You know, when you go into a home and you try to go into that house, you're not sure what the situation is going to be. get the particulars, make sure the weapons are secured, whether it's the bad guy or the good guy, and then try to determine who and what and when and where and how come something happened. That's the bottom line. We've got to know things ahead of time. We can't just jump, as law enforcement, we can't jump to conclusions, because if we do that, then our conclusions become an assumption. And you know what they say about when you assume something.
Yeah, you can spell it out.
Yep.
Okay, Chief, I noticed you got a lot of notes here on this particular topic. Why don't you, if you want to go a certain direction with it, give us, inform us on some other things, because I always have a tendency to ask questions when I hear something. I gave the initial comment. Let's see what you got.
Well, one of the things is what I want to encourage people to do, especially when they're the complainants. Number one, you do have a right to ask questions. Ask them what's going to happen, how come you're there. Secondly, if the officer's spoken to you in any kind of ill way, or if he was very abusive to you verbally as a complainant, you have a right to complain to his superiors. And, you know, many times, and I know that I have seen it in the past, there's officers that don't deal well with the public. Well, if they don't deal well with the public, then they don't need to be in law enforcement, bottom line. Because, you know, our public is who we serve. You know, the old saying, and boy, I hate to hear this, you know, I pay your salary. Well, they do. We just don't like to hear that. You know, I mean, unfortunately, had a guy tell me that one night, after, especially after I just got through and arrested him.
Yeah, but I can't deal with the lack of respect for the
police. No, you can't. I mean, that's just it. And that was one of the things that, when I was growing up, the police officers were revered, they were respected. That has changed over the years, and sometimes rightfully so, depending on what the officer's attitude is. But, you know, the badge and the institution has to be revered. That's what, there's a fine line between law enforcement, between safety and chaos and anarchy. That officer is there to try to keep that line going, make sure that one's on one side, one's on the other. But an officer cannot be abusive to the citizens. He cannot use his badge as a heavy weight on his chest to be a John Wayne. He's got to do things that are logistically correct. He's got to do things that are politically correct, unfortunately, nowadays. And number one, you know, we try to get the respect of law enforcement, of the citizens toward law enforcement. There's a survey that came out, and in that survey, it was talking about what happens when a police officer is rude or disrespectful to the general public. Well, when that officer is rude to someone, then there's a 50% chance that person will never, ever have respect for other law enforcement officers based on one bad experience.
That's the way it works. Bad apples spoils the best.
Exactly. So, you know, my idea is this. If you as a citizen or you as a complainant, if you're treated badly or irreverently by a police officer, he's got a superior. You need to report him to that superior. I never had a problem with someone coming down and talking to me about something my officers did when I was chief. Sometimes I found that it wasn't necessarily what's going on that they said, but you also got to remember now, and one of the things I hope that people come away with is this. Every police department in the state of Texas now, to my knowledge, has body cams, more especially the smaller departments. If you have a question, that officer should be recording what's going on. He should have a video of it. If he doesn't and they're equipped with it, shame on that officer. That's all I got to say.
Chief, there was, you know, when it comes to verbal judo and all that kind of stuff, there's part of it that says, I win by losing. If I lose, I actually win. And what that means is, if me personally have an objective, and that objective is to have a successful outcome, I look at all the different avenues and I say one avenue is direct head-on contact. Well, that's not going to work. Another one is diffusion. That's not going to work. Submission is going to work because it's going to get me to my end result, which is successful accomplishment of whatever that mission might be. And to clarify that up to make it more clear, sometimes if you just shut up and listen and do what you're told, you'll end up getting the result that you want. Not always. And with that, I wanted to ask you, Chief, is there some type of checklist that we could put in our mental capacities that says if we ever got into a situation like this, this is what we should do no matter what it is, whether the officer is a good one or an officer is a challenged one, what are the steps we should do? to accomplish the mission, and that is to get the bad person taken away or to get our concerns heard and moved upon or whatever.
Well, the first thing you need to do is you got to remember the officer is going into an unknown volatile situation in most cases. He's not going to know what's going on. Number one, as a citizen, keep your hands where they can be seen.
Absolutely.
Keep your hands out of your pockets. Keep your hands free. Don't have them on your hips. Have your hands free. Secondly, listen to what the officer tells you to do. He may be telling you to do something that you don't like, but if he is, that could be addressed later. When tempers, when tension, when stress is on scene, then there's a lot of things that could happen. You know as well as I do, you've probably said some things you wish you could take back. Well, out on the scene, when you say things that are pouring gasoline on a fire, then that's going to end up making the situation much worse for you. You can always, always fix it at a later date, but that scene is not the place. And it's kind of like what we tell people. You know, police officers have to make a split-second decision to do something, and then courts can determine for months and months and months whether that officer did something right or wrong. Well, to keep you from being a victim of whatever that officer is doing, just pay attention to what he's telling you to do. You may not like it, you may not want to do it, but do what he tells you to do, and then at a later date, after everything has de-escalated, then you can control and you can talk about it. You can complain on whoever it is that needs to be complained upon, and that officer should then the supervisor should investigate what's going on.
Chief, let me ask a simple scenario, and that would be you felt threatened, somebody's trespassing on your property, they're on the porch, they're spooking you, you got your gun with you, you just want them to get out of here, you want the police to come make a record of it. You call 911. What should you expect? What things should you have on your mental checklist that law enforcement should accomplish at that time?
If that person has already gone, put your gun up. If he's still there, have your gun holstered when the officer drives up. Tell the officer, I am armed, this is my home, and I used my gun only. I was only going to use it if I had to defend myself.
Penal code 904.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. And so, you know, basically is make that officer feel like he's not in the middle of a crossfire, or he is not in the middle of a situation that's going to escalate instead of de-escalate.
Okay, it can go quick one way or the other. It just depends on how the tempers are. That's why the more prepared you are, the more knowledgeable you are, the more confident you are, and the more understanding, the easier it's going to be for everybody to get out of a situation like that. That's why it's so important.
It is. And, you know, that officer, and I'm not making excuses for police officers. Anybody that knows me, I taught ethics in police academies and in police training. I taught how to handle stress situations. Everybody knows that a police officer, is a human being who just wears a gun and a badge. That's all he is. He's going to have the same reactions, the same feelings as other people. He should be trained better. And sometimes that training doesn't get where it should be, or he forgets that training. And then you have a situation where two hot-headed people are working against each other. Somebody's got to be calm.
Let me give you an example. If I was an officer and I was going to do a traffic stop, let's say, I know there are certain things that would concern me. Where the stop is being done, the type of way that the individual stopped the vehicle, what they're doing inside of the vehicle, is it daylight or nighttime? So what I do to, I guess, explain what I'm trying to get at with these questions, when I get pulled over by an officer, which is not very often, by the way, I don't care if it's day or night, I roll down all the windows, I turn on the dome lights, I shut the engine off, the keys are on the dash, my hands are resting across the steering wheel, I don't move. He sees my hands, I don't move in an aggressive manner, and when the officer comes over, I say, hello, officer. Officer, I want you to know I am licensed to carry. I do have the weapon on me at this time. It's in the center console or wherever it may be, and my wallet is in my left rear pocket. What would you like me to do, sir? I diffused everything. The officer looks at me and goes, okay, it calms him down. So in a situation where you do a 911 call and they come to your house, something equivalent to that would be good, right?
Exactly. Tell the officer that you have a weapon. Tell him where that weapon's at. Tell him that you're going to reach. Make sure you tell him or her you're going to reach for your ID, because he's going to see your ID. Even as a complainant, he's going to see your ID because he has to record everything. He has to write everything down. just don't make any quick moves. Have your head in the right place at the right time. Tell the officer what you're going to do, when you're going to do it. I'll be honest with you, I got stopped 2 weeks ago going down State Highway 36 by a Texas State Trooper. The trooper pulled me over, and my insurance card is in my glove box along with the weapon I carry. So I told the officer, I said, "Officer, I am going to reach over in my glove box. I'm a law enforcement officer, retired law enforcement officer. Please don't shoot me because there's a weapon in there." Well, he kind of chuckled for a moment. So I reached in and got my ID, insurance ID, and gave to him. And unfortunately, this particular trooper then gave me a lecture about how he didn't care whether I was an officer or not. And I said, "That's fine, sir. I wasn't trying to get out of anything." And I got a ticket. I got a warning ticket for it. But I said, "All I was trying to do was tell you there's a gun there, and I'm going to reach across where that gun's at." And, you know, I, as a police officer, I appreciated that. Because I don't want to see a gun in some hand going toward a gun. Yeah.
You know, you said that. I'm a left-handed shooter. Packing my heat on my left side. I got my wallet on my left side. Guess what's close to the...
You reach over to get it.
Officer, I'm using these two little fingers right here. Watch it.
Tell somebody what you're doing. And at nighttime, and you know, folks, and I've talked about this in the past, at nighttime, there is no way under God's green earth that an officer knows whether you're black, brown, purple, or polka dot. If he pulls you over, I don't care what race you are, what color you are, if he pulls you over, put your hands on the steering wheel, turn your interior light on, put your hands on the steering wheel, and tell him what you're going to do when you do it. If he asks for your ID and you have to reach in your wallet, tell him, "I'm reaching for my wallet, sir." You know, you don't want to have a gun screwed to your ear.
It's just, it's a lot of it's common sense. It's just common sense isn't too common anymore. Chief, the clock's ticking away. We're going to have to end it. I got Master Cindy Keys in the house, so we're going to get her on in just a minute. Right. But Chief, is there any last comment, basically?
Just be careful, everybody, especially during the holiday season. A lot of troopers, a lot of local police are out. And, you know, most of the time, if you're nice to them, they're going to be nice to you.
Sounds good. Guys, let's take a one-minute break, and when we come back, we'll have Master Cindy Key on doing something physically abusive to me, I'm sure. Sure. See you other side.
If you're planning a party for a wedding, birthday, anniversary, corporate event, or just to have fun, and you plan to serve alcohol, you need a bartender. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps Bartending Service is who you need to call. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps provides a complete portable bartending service. When you provide adult beverages to your guests, you want them served fast, correctly, and with flair. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps can do that for you. TABC certified, professional, and with a complete bar setup, Aaron's can help make your social event one to remember for a long time. Call Aaron's now at 254-482-0557 or email Aaron's at mail@aaronsnightcaps.com. Make Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps your first call and last call when you want a professional bartender for your next social or corporate event. Call 254-482-0557 or go to aaronsnightcaps.com. And that's powerful stuff. Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron prides themselves on service, resourcefulness, knowledge of the law, and attention to detail. So if you or a loved one has been injured by someone else's negligence, they can help. Call 888-637-6347 for help today from Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm. Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm will work as hard for your family as you do. Call 800-460-0606 for Capolino Dodd Krebs.
For sales, service, maintenance, and supplies for our motorcycles, ATV, Ford Trackers, and more, stop by Two Wheel Customs, located on Highway 53 in Zopchickville. Open Tuesday through Saturday. Two Wheel Customs offers the best in repairs and maintenance on any make, model, or size of motorcycle. If you're looking to buy or sell your unit, David Trojan and his crew can take all the hassle of paperwork and displaying your motorcycle. If you're looking to buy, Two Wheel Customs always has vehicles on display for purchase. In addition, you can find a store full of varying apparel, everything from boots to helmets, along with a great inventory of accessories for your motorcycle. Give Two Wheel Customs a call at area code 254-760-2250. That's 254-760-2250. Two Wheel Customs on Highway 53 in Zopchickville.
Aaron.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Beatros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunshop.com.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Hi, everyone. Matt, your host from Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program here, and I'm very excited to tell you about our new sponsor, Liquor Depot, located in the Milam Plaza right next to Brookshire Brothers. As you know, I'm a bartender, and when I walk into Liquor Depot, I get excited looking at all the variations of wine, beer, and spirits. So if you're going to have a party, wedding, or business event, and you want to serve alcohol, Liquor Depot is the place to come to stock your bar and your icebox. Great prices, excellent selection, and lots of friendly help to get you what you need. There are lots of great enhanced gift ideas, too, for any occasion. Liquor Depot is open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. and is located at 1604 West 4th. So stop in today and stock up or call Liquor Depot at 254-605-0766.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose, Yuletide carols being sung by a choir, and folks dressed up like...
Welcome back, everybody, to Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. We're having a good time here. It's Christmas 3 days away. Mellow music, chestnuts, the aroma of chestnuts floating through the air. Having a good time. Got my good friend here, Mark Boris, sitting to my left. We'll be talking to him in just a minute. But right now, today's liquor segment is going to be brought to you by Liquor Depot in the Milam Plaza, right next to Brookshire Brothers in Cameron.
Yay!
Yay! All right, seriously, everybody. Liquor Depot there in the Milam Plaza, right next to Brookshire Brothers. They got a store full, wall-to-wall, of beer, wine, and spirits. And George there, he's got it going on, man. He's got a nice place. You can go check it out when it comes time for you to buy any type of your beverages like that. Now, what we're going to be talking about today, I've titled this one, Medicine in the Liquor Bottle. It's kind of another way we can get around saying, hey, you're drinking too much. Anyway, we're going to be talking about Jägermeister. And there it is, right in the screen. Jägermeister. Best served cold. And always, of course, drink responsibly. But let me talk to you about Jägermeister. I was checking some things out. I mean, I know some things about Jägermeister, but... here's 15 things you didn't know about Jägermeister. Okay. Despite its recent boom in popularity, Jägermeister enjoyed an amazingly long and storied history before everybody decided to drop the bomb. Here are 15 knowledge shots you probably didn't know. One, it was invented in a vinegar factory. Who would have thought? Two, and they still use the same name, extraordinarily complicated recipe. The mixture of 56 herbs, including citrus peel, licorice, and ginseng, have never changed in the whole 79 years. In fact, the exact ingredients are a company secret. Three, it's made in Wolfenbüttel, wherever that is. Wolfenbüttel is quite a tourist attraction, thanks to them. And this is number four. There's even a Jägermeister hotel. Five, it takes over a year to make. Before it reaches the bottle, Jägermeister goes through quite the lengthy process. The ingredients are filtered and stored in oak barrels for 365 days. Then there's a series of 383 quality checks, including another round of filtering with sugar, caramel, alcohol, and water. Six, the Germans call it liver glue. While many of us know Jägermeister by the nightclub shot glass, it's actually invented as a digestive. In Germany, it's still popular for an after-dinner sip. That's why it's lovingly known as the Lieberkister. Lieberkister. Zoli, correct me if I'm wrong. All right, seven. Jägermeister heals. Disclaimer, not medically proven. Like many herbal liquors, Jägermeister was originally used medicinally, and even today people swear by its healing properties for easing flu symptoms from coughs to sore throats. Eight, no, it doesn't contain deer or elk blood. Contrary to urban legend, vital fluids are not among the 56 ingredients. And they're probably saying that because they're looking at the, if you're looking at the label, you'll see the elk head there. Number nine, the bottle was invented by breaking a lot of glass. I thought this was pretty cool. Kurt Mass perfected Jägermeister's famous green bottle by dropping bottles one after the other onto his kitchen floor. The one that exists today proved to be the most reliable. So what I'm assuming is he got a whole bunch of bottles and just dropped them, and the one that didn't break was the one he picked. And it looks like a medicinal bottle, which makes sense because you don't want your medicine breaking in cheap glass. 10, it's a summer drink. 11, the logo has a really cool story, which I will not go into now for time's sake. Okay, and that was, what number was that? That was 11. 12, Germans use it in their insect traps. Wasps and flies love Jägermeister too. 13, it's awesome to cook with. 14, Jägermeister is more popular than ever in the last 10 years. And 15, it's the world's best-selling liqueur brand. Yes, yet they only have 530 employees. That's pretty interesting. Now, I wanted to tell you about this, too. I've got these, you know, you got a bag. You got to think about what you want in it. Well, you got to have some medicinal type of stuff. And I've got three bottles here. I've got the mini Jägermeister bottle. I've got a little bottle of honey whiskey right here that I'm showing. And then I got a little bottle of Dripping Springs vodka. It looks medicinal, doesn't it? Well, let me read a little bit about each one. Jägermeister. Is Jägermeister good for health? I looked at a website and found this. Believe it or not, Jägermeister is actually good for you. When consumed in moderation, as is with originally marketed as a stomach digestive and cough suppressant, throw in a blueberry and rose hips and you have an extra boost of antioxidants and stomach easing. Okay, so that's pretty cool on the Jägermeister. The whiskey. Is honey and whiskey good for a cough? It's whiskey. And here's why science says it's good for your cough. Enter the hot toddy. A tablespoon or so of honey and a healthy squeeze of lemon juice mixed into a half of water and half whiskey with a tea bag and a couple whole cloves, and it's going to make it feel really good. Also, drinking a little whiskey might actually help relieve cold symptoms. The classic hot toddy, typically made of whiskey, honey, lemon juice, and hot water, can subdue the injustices of your inevitable winter cold. So that's great for the whiskey. Now, the vodka. People ask, can you sterilize a wound with vodka? Alcohol has the ability to kill exposed tissue as well as germs. This may delay healing, however. In a situation where standard first aid equipment is not available, vodka may be used to clean dirt from the surrounding area of a wound. Vodka may also be used to disinfect equipment used to treat an open wound. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. You've got Jägermeister, licorice flavor, all these different herbs and spices, peels, and we've got them in the micro sizes. So if you got a bug out bag and you want the healing properties of some alcoholic beverages, you've got something to cool, soothe the throat and the stomach, something to soothe your throat with the whiskey, and gosh, God forbid, if you got a cut or a gunshot wound, you need to sterilize it, you can use some vodka to do it. Okay, so don't forget George at Liquor Depot in the Milan Plaza, right next to Brookshire Brothers in Cameron. Check it out. Support the sponsors and support the show. Okay, that was that. Now we're going to break off and go into our product spotlight. ANC Firearms sponsors this segment, and we're going to be talking about the Remington V3 TAC 13 12 gauge firearm. Not shotgun, not pistol, but firearm. And obviously, ANC Firearms has been out there quite a long time. They got pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, accessories, black powder, reloading equipment, the whole works. You need to check them out. Their number, 254-983-4417. Ladies and gentlemen, we talked about the Mossberg Shockwave. okay? And I love it. It's a pump shotgun off the 590 Mossberg line, and they modified it to turn into a Shockwave. This short firearm that does not need AOW paperwork because it was built at the manufacturer, and so even though it's got the very short barrel, as long as it's 26 and a half plus inches or more, it's legal. No extra paperwork needed. Well, here we have the Remington V3 TAC 13 version in semi-auto, and I cannot tell you how excited I am about this firearm. Ladies and gentlemen, it's rock solid. It's a Remington off the 870 model, and I'm going to read to you a little review by Evan Bruhn, and it's a pretty good quick review on it, but this thing shoots as fast as you pull the trigger. And what I like about it is I'm not going to waste time racking a shotgun if I got an intruder in my home. Okay, if it's necessary, I just do what I got to do and minimize the amount of time doing it. So let me read to you this article real quick, explain the TAC 3, and you can get yours from ANC Firearms. They're very hard to get at this point in time, but once you put your hands on, you're going to say, oh man, it's beautiful. But this one here is a range review, Remington V3 TAC 13 by Evan Bruhn. Often the firearm world gets knocked for failing to come up with innovative introductions. After all, we're still seeing new 1911s launched more than a century after John Browning's original design became the official sidearm of the U.S. military in 1911. However, in recent years, the intriguing non-NFA shot shell firing firearm concept gained ground, with big companies like Remington and Mossberg joining in their pump-action TAC-14s and 590 Shockwaves. Now that the concept moves into the semi-automatic territory with the launch of the all-new 12-gauge Remington TAC-13 Compact. Though many took the pump-action TAC-14, leading Remington to eventually introduce five different models of the firearm, the pump-action design was a sticking point for others. With such a new concept on the market, learning how to best employ the gun and finding relevant situations for which the design could be used became the next task. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. Sometimes these authors write something to fill up space. And here's what I mean by that. I just read this sentence, you know, you're learning the best way to employ this gun. It's simple. It's extremely simple what this gun is meant for. It's compact, versatile, fast, effective, destructive, dependable. I mean, it's an incredible firearm. You can do so much with this thing. I continue. Of course, close quarters home defense is a clear contender for designs like the TAC-14, which is the pump, and this one's the TAC-13, the semi-auto. Excuse me. Measuring just 26 and a half inches long, the Remington TAC-13 Compact is the same size as the company's pump-action TAC-14. The use of Remington's VersaPort self-regulating gas system made it possible to contain a semi-automatic action within the confines of the receiver, unlike other designs on the market that require the use of action springs running along and inside the shotgun stock. Without the need for this added stock extension, Remington can maintain the reliability of its original V3 operating system while adding on a bird's head pistol grip that enables the gun to measure more than 26 inches in overall length and maintain its non-NFA status. Featuring a 3-inch chamber, the V3 TAC-13 Compact is built on an all-aluminum receiver paired with a lightweight contour cylinder bore barrel measuring 13 inches long. The accompanying magazine tube can hold up to five 2 3/4-inch shot shells, enabling the firearm to have up to 6 rounds on board, including one in the chamber. The receiver, barrel, and magazine tube are treated with matte black finish, and the bird head's grip and polymer fore-end are also available only in black. I'm sure they'll come up with a wide variety of stuff soon. The TAC-13 is outfitted... excuse me. I need to have some Jägermeister. The TAC-13 is outfitted with a fore-end strapped and keeps the support hand secured, but recoil is also mitigated by the gun's self-regulating gas system. Ladies and gentlemen, people have made a comment about the grip and all how a short shotgun or a short firearm like this can be painful to the hand. It's not the case. If you have a vertical pistol grip, yeah, your arm becomes the shotgun stock. But with the bird head's grip, all the energy goes out to the rear of the grip and you don't feel practically anything on it. The staff of this company had an opportunity to run the V3 TAC-13 Compact in a range of scenarios with everything from defense-oriented double-aught buck to lighter field loads on the clay range. One of the benefits of the Remington VersaPort system is the use of fewer components and moving parts than other semi-automatic shotguns, allowing it to run longer and more reliably without cleaning. During maintenance, fewer parts also allow for easier cleaning. At the range, 14 different individuals ran the TAC-13 and not a single malfunction occurred across 2 days of shooting on a square range in a clays field. One of the more noticeable elements found in the TAC-13 is the compact is the inclusion of a ventilated rib running across the top of the barrel. As it is, the rib actually allowed for pretty accurate aiming on flying clays with lighter fuel lows when fired from a gun-up position in the front of the head rather than anchoring the bird head's grip to the hip and point shooting at close ranges. With the mitigated recoil of semi-automatic, this TAC-13, with the way it's set up, it's possible to do that. Right now, only one all-black model of the Remington V3 TAC-13 compact is available, but in the company's TAC-14 lineup is any indication we'll be seeing more options in the future. So, ladies and gentlemen, go to ANC Firearms. Tell them you heard about the TAC-13, the Remington TAC-13. Tell them you want one. It's awesome. I'm going to show one more time in the video here. It's about 26.5 inches long. It's about the same size as the Mossberg 590 Shockwave. This is the semi-auto version as compared to a pump. So if you don't want to waste time pumping that firearm, you just pull the trigger on this bad boy, and she sings. Okay, so check it out. ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, 254-983-4417. Luke, let's take a quick break, and when we come back, I'm going to have my brother from another mother, Mark Border, here. We're going to be talking about a few different things. So we'll see you on the other side.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. With the kids jingle-belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Power. Sometimes you just need more.
But what do you do when that yard equipment needs more or just isn't working like it used to? The answer is Cameron's Gold Engine, formerly Cameron Seed Company, where friendly service and quantity work stop it at 408 West Bank. They provide all your outdoor power equipment needs. Check out their selection of Echo, Snapper, and Zero Turn Big Dog Mowers. Power through the summer with Cameron's Gold Engine. Call 254-697-3452 or stop in at 408 West Bank.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who's been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunShop.com.
For sales, service, maintenance, and supplies for our motorcycles, ATV, Ford Trackers, and more, stop by Two Wheel Customs, located on Highway 53 in Zopchickville. Open Tuesday through Saturday. Two Wheel Customs offers the best in repairs and maintenance on any make, model, or size of motorcycle. If you're looking to buy or sell your unit, David Trojan and his crew can take all the hassle of paperwork and displaying your motorcycle. If you're looking to buy, Two Wheel Customs always has vehicles on display for purchase. In addition, you can find a store full of varying apparel, everything from boots to helmets, along with a great inventory of accessories for your motorcycle. Give Two Wheel Customs a call at area code 254-760-2250. That's 254-760-2250. Two Wheel Customs on Highway 53 in Zopchickville.
Back, everybody, the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Today's what? The 22nd, right? Three more days till Christmas?
Yes.
Mark, welcome to the show. It's always a pleasure to have you here, brother.
And it's always an honor because you got some dynamic people coming in here. They put out some great information for the community. They represent the community. So if I get to speak on this platform, I'm in good company. Thank you.
You're too generous, man. Thank you very much. Mark, you know, I'm losing my voice here. Like I said, I'm going to bust open that Jägermeister and soothe my throat there.
It wouldn't be the first time, would it, brother? Remember Germany back in... No, okay, we shouldn't go there.
Ladies and gentlemen, the number here is 254-697-6633 if you want to give a shout. But we were talking to each other and saying, you know, this is the season. Why do we have to wait to this season to be nice and all this kind of stuff and do good deeds? Why don't you open this up here with what you were thinking about?
Well, thank you for that, man. Because I know you know me. That I don't celebrate holidays. I don't celebrate Christmas. I don't celebrate family or anything like that. And I catch a little bit of grief about that. But there's other people like me out there. And I think that holidays are a nice excuse to get out of work. But in my opinion, holidays should be every day of the week. Every day of the year. Because if Mother's Day, you're going to celebrate Mother's Day one time out of the year? No. You should celebrate your mom every day. Say, thank you, Mom. You did a good job raising me, of course. Unless you're a bum. If you're a bum, your mom did not slap you around enough like she did me. Okay? But Christmas, I mean, it should be every day. As a good human being, you should be doing something nice for everybody every day.
Well, if you want to get really technical on Christmas, every day is, if you're a Christian and you believe in the Christian faith, every day should be Christmas in the sense that we celebrate the birth of Christ and what Christ has done for us as a Christian. And we invite any of those who have not received Christ to do so.
I like that, Matt, because you just brought up another pet peeve of mine.
Oh, no.
A lot of people who want to build that relationship with Christ and say, oh, I need a relationship with Christ. Well, Christ is sitting right next to you, folks. God is in the room. Go ahead and talk to him. They're dying to... No, I shouldn't say that. But they would love to hear you.
He already did that.
All right, I'm sorry.
So, act of kindness. There's you were just telling me about somebody who... paid for groceries, right?
Okay, so there I was, all by myself, over at one of the local grocery stores.
Whatever did you do, Mark?
I'm telling you, I stood there in awe and appreciation as I saw the gentleman behind me actually purchase the groceries for the lady behind him. There's a lot of, I would say, elder people. People on a restricted income that really buying a loaf of bread, sometimes they're pinching pennies just to do that. So he was like paying it forward and doing a good deed for somebody. But as good people celebrating Christmas every day of the year, maybe we should do random acts of kindness. Say thank you to people just because, you know, they're having a rough day at work too. They don't want to be there, but thank them, help them. If the checkout counter lady is really backed up, you can bag your own groceries, people. Don't be so lazy and stand there and watch her thrash around. Help other people out to their car. Take the groceries out to the car. But there's other things we can do.
Here's one thing we can do. Is like if people go to church or if people meditate and pray and they're trying to be good people, and then they walk out and they go into their car and they're driving and somebody cuts them off and somebody flips the bird to them, because they're so angry being cut off, like sometimes can happen with me. Oh. Yeah, that's not a good thing. We should maintain, well, that person just needs to get to where they're going a little bit quicker, I guess, than I do. So just little things like that all over the place.
I have to understand sometimes not everybody is having a good day, and they let things like that irritate them. So me being a driver who gets frustrated, like you perhaps sometimes, with special people, maybe we need to breathe. You taught me how to take that safety second a long time ago, which saved my life a couple times. And just realize that not everybody is having a good day. But if you're on the other side of that coin and you see that happen, then feel free to stand out there and challenge the guy. Block that nice lady who's taking her groceries to the car and say, yeah, I'm right here. You want to do something? You want to step out of your car? Okay, I'm sorry. I took it to a Grinch mood. Okay, sorry.
All right, hey, Mark, we were messing around here, but we were talking about how this kind of segued into good deeds being watching out for the other person. Not only helping somebody, but watching out for somebody. And we're playing around here, everybody. I just want you to know we're having a good time. But
it's Christmas. We're having a good time.
But seriously, when we're discussing this, and it definitely segues into protecting other people, doing good deeds for other people. And why don't you talk about that too? Because I know we've got scenarios and situations going on.
Just recently, it came to my attention that somebody was cruising through the neighborhood, and they were looking to find somebody from their past. Well, they approached this person, and they asked a bunch of questions, and this person said, well, I do know that person, and if it's a really important situation, why don't I get your phone number and your name, and I'll contact that person and let them know that you're looking for them, and there might be a crisis situation, and we'll leave it up to that person to make contact if they would like to. That way, my friend actually saved that person from being exposed and vulnerable to this person who could be a stalker, and who actually was proven to be a stalker and under a restraining order and breaking probation and kind of other issues. So just by asking the right questions and not giving out information, being situationally aware of other people's situations, well, you could have prevented a murder.
Mm-hmm.
You could have prevented all kinds of havoc. So just by being situationally aware and respective to other people's space, it goes a long ways.
It's crazy, really, how one simple little mistake can escalate into a severe happening of a murder or a robbery or something like that. And so in this day and age that we live in, more so now than ever, it's very important to be aware not only of your situation, your surroundings, and the security of others too, because hopefully you'd want somebody to do the same thing for you. If somebody's trying to scope you out and check you out, it's kind of suspicious when somebody comes out of nowhere and starts asking questions, and you're like, who the heck are you? Why do you want to know this? Am I helping to the demise of this other person? I got to be careful what I say, what I do.
You brought up a good thing. In this day and age, which is the technical age, everybody has a phone, right? You got a phone.
Yes, sir.
Does your phone take pictures?
Yes, sir.
It's amazing, isn't it? So, like you and I, we carry around this attitude adjustment tool, right? And it's usually loaded. But we also carry around that phone. Now, when we're confronted with some really challenged people that really have bad attitudes, instead of reaching for that attitude adjustment tool, we can take that phone out, take a picture of the person, take a picture of the person's car, and actually start working on a database. And usually, if they see that, they'll either challenge you and say, well, why are you taking my picture? You say, because I can. You know, it's legal. I can do that. You're confronting me. I don't want to shoot you with my attitude adjustment tool. I'm going to just take a picture and record this, okay? That will either challenge them or it will shut them down and they will want to get out of the picture.
That's right.
And as they're driving away, take the picture of the license plate. You know, that sometimes is so good.
Now, look, I want to say something here. I'm totally opposed to the cameras scoping me out. I hate it.
Makes you feel uncomfortable,
doesn't it? It's definitely uncomfortable. I don't like being spied upon. It's just whatever. But in certain situations, it has its applications.
Yeah, sure it does. And Chief Dixon was talking about when you get pulled over to the side of the road and you being confronted by an officer or something like that. It's totally legal to record that whole session.
That's
They've got apps on your phone now to where you can do that. But I'm just saying that, you know, take out your phone instead of your gun. Your weapon should be the tool of last choice.
And what's my mathematical formula? Mindset plus mechanics equals response time. So if your mindset is clear, you understand all your different options, and your mechanics are up to speed, you know how to use the weapon, it gives you a lot more time to figure out what to do in a certain situation. And you don't always have to go, oh, situation, gun. No. There's so many different things you can do if you train yourself. So remember that mathematical formula.
Being situationally aware, not just for yourself, but for your neighbors. If you see somebody just cruising through the neighborhood that don't belong there, they've been through three or four times, nice and slow. If you see them taking pictures, maybe you should take a picture of that so then you can push it forward.
Mm-hmm.
And in that situation that I described where that stalker was coming around breaking probation, because of the information that was provided eventually, the sheriff's department actually took action and increased the patrols in that person's neighborhood. And I can't say enough about our law enforcement here in Cameron. They're doing a great job. Sheriff's Department, Cameron PD, doing great work.
That's good. Look, it's a big county, and there's only so many law enforcement. So it's your responsibility as well to stay vigilant, be alert and aware. I just had something happen last night. I was getting calls from concerned citizens, because these citizens aren't as maybe enhanced as I am when it comes to personal protection.
Mentally prepared.
Well, they're mentally prepared, but their physical abilities may not be as what we can do. So just getting yourself alert, aware, having the proper tools and equipment, being ready at a moment's notice. You know, a lot of good, a gun or phone or camera or whatever type of equipment that you have to protect yourself, a lot of good it is if you got to go hunting for it for 5, 7 minutes or 10 minutes to get the thing up and running. It's got to be instantaneous. It's got to be like you hear a tone in somebody's voice and say, hey, I need you to do this for me, or hey, get me that. And you should, there should be a communication with partners or whatever to say, I know that tone, or they said a key word. So whatever I'm doing, I drop it at a second. I drop it and I comply to what the person's saying because I realize and trust that this person's code word is serious. And I need to comply and get him whatever he needs, or aid in the situation, so on and so forth. So you need a plan. You need a game plan. If you can't do it yourself, find somebody who you can call that might be able to do it, your neighbors. That's why it's important to get to know your neighbors. Out in the country, it's kind of difficult because you're living
with
acres
respect.
Away.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, that brings up a really good point, being prepared, especially some of these people who have restricted movement or disabled. A certain person I was doing a home defense plan for, they said, well, I've got the weapon right next to my bed, and I'm able to get out of the bed and actually engage the target when it comes to the door, the fatal funnel right there. But if I have to go to my safe room, what do I do? And I said, well, that's great that you have your weapon here, but do you have a secondary weapon or a secondary source of ammunition in your safe room to where if they're pounding on the door trying to get through, if you're already out of ammunition, you reach over and you get your spare emergency magazine and your ammunition there, blast through the door. That person now has relocated some emergency ammunition into their safe room. So there's a lot of things you can do, not only to prepare for the initial engagement, but also go to your secondary, your alternate, and your emergency locations and set up your plan accordingly and rehearse your plan.
Look, you and I go back to the beginning of time, okay? I know you very well. And you,
I'm alive because of you.
And you are so freaking detailed.
Sometimes too much.
No, but you're detailed when it's okay to be detailed, when you have the time to be detailed. But when it strikes, all that planning stops and you initiate and you act on what you've planned. So what I'm trying to get at, ladies and gentlemen, Mark here can look at a situation and study it and go over almost every detail you would never have thought about. Contingency plan, your 5-point contingency plan. So what if this doesn't work? What if this doesn't work? And you may think it's redundant, but it's not redundant. There is no redundancy when it comes to safety and good gun handling and mental thought processes. And Mark, if you got a challenge, if you're thinking, I need some input or thought process, Mark here, you know what you're doing, man. You know what you're doing.
You said something really important. It's a 5-point contingency plan. And I've done this all over Africa and Iraq, Afghanistan. I've done it for the military special operations teams. But sometimes people get so complacent that they don't rehearse it. They don't practice. And it becomes a 5-point complacency plan.
Yeah, yeah.
And that will get you killed. So, yes, rehearse all the time. If it's important enough to come up with a plan, and if you feel like your life is threatened or you want to be prepared, don't put it on the shelf. Make it part of your go-to. You always carry your wallet. You always carry your phone. Carry your emergency preparedness plan with you.
Now, look, there's some things you're not good at. There's some things I'm not good at. And those people who you're helping...
I don't know anything you're not good at.
Stop. But the people that you might be helping may be good at what they do, okay? But they have the common sense enough to know that, hey, I've got a weakness here. I'm going to either find somebody, hire somebody, or whatever to show me. So a person like you, let's say I'm a person who's good at baking, but I'm not good at the thought process of protecting my home, but I know I need to do it. I'm taking advantage of your skill of detail work that may look over way more than it's necessary, but it's not. It's because the person who is novice at it doesn't realize that every little step you take, everything that you think about, study can come into play. Because if you read these stories of self-defense, true stories of self-defense, you're going to see that the plan never works. Who was that general that said, if you start planning for battle, you're going to screw up because it's never going to go that way. I forget. I'm slaughtered that. But basically, the way you plan never goes as planned when the first bullet's shot. It just goes crazy. So you have to have these contingencies.
It's a guidance. It's a guideline.
Ranger Handbook, man. It's there for guidance. That's it.
Yes. But you brought up a good point. If somebody out there does want me to come to their home for like a base defense plan and they're an excellent chef or a baker, I can be persuaded with a good gingerbread cookie. Yeah.
Well, that goes for me too. If you're having a hard time with handling your firearm and you want some help, like I've stated before, and I haven't really promoted yet, that is, we've got, first of all, we got a license to carry class on January 5th. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you need to get a license to carry, January 5th, Saturday at 2 o'clock, we will be doing that. You can go to the website, aaronsgunshop.com, go to the LTC page, sign up there, and or you can give me a call or an email, let me know if you've got any questions, but we got that. And so there's just all these different things, and I've got the ability to go to your home if you need some special training when it comes to using your firearm. If you want a tag team match here where Mark can show you the outlay of how to secure your home, and you want
done it for schools, done it for government agencies. You and I make a great team, and we can either go to you or you can come to us.
That's right.
Yeah.
So just give me a call or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com, and really we can talk about it, figure out what's best for you and your scenario and your situation, and there's always something you can do. And even if you have a minimal budget or you have a large budget, there's always something you can do, and that something is way better than hiding underneath some fluffy pillows.
We've even helped train some of the small churches in the area and some of the large churches, that Austin gig we did.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of that, it's God's house, yes, but even God has his little archangels, don't he?
That's right, yeah. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, we're running short on the clock, so what we're going to do here is I'm going to cut the show a little bit early, and I'm just going to reiterate that I do have a license to carry class on January 5th, that's Saturday, at 2 o'clock. Go to aaronsgunshop.com, go to the license to carry page, and you can sign up there. Mark and I are available for counseling. Is that the right word? Not counseling. Strategizing.
Consulting.
Consulting, thank you. When it comes to security of your home, your business, your property.
Overthrow of small governments.
And personal protection, okay? So you can give me an email or give me a call. Don't forget to subscribe to the YouTube channel. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Instagram. All sorts of great information when it comes to legal aspects. Product demos, the works on the YouTube channel. So make sure you subscribe to that. A lot of good stuff. And if you have any special topics that you think, hey, Matt, why don't you hit this or that, give me a call or an email, let me know, and we'll try and hit it and get some people in here that are pertinent to the information so we can have a good show. Okay? Luke, take us out with some good Christmas music. And ladies and gentlemen, until next Saturday, keep your powder dry. God bless, and have a merry, merry Christmas.